Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Welcome inside a wonderful Monday morning, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up in about 18 minutes from now, do you think Hugh Jackson knows he's bad at play calling? Because he seems to want to take over play calling, but I don't think that's the solution. And coming up later on in the hour, sound check your best audio of the day, including reverb and Andrew Bogish's headset. Hi. I'm Andrew. Bogish. You could be watching the proceedings right now. Wouldn't you want that at watchda.com? You could also be watching episodes of Nomad, including my latest in Boise, Idaho. New episode coming out this week. It's all about spuds. By going to YouTube, search my name and Nomad, and you'll check it out there. Subscribe, won't you? That way, notifications when we have brand new episodes delivered to your inbox weekly. Potatoes. In Jacksonville, the Jaguars' offense once again looked like Dookie, and they benched Blake Bortles after a brutal first couple of quarters. He was 6 of 12 against Houston at home for 61 yards and 2 fumbles.
You are a machine of death.
So hard. Last year, Blake Bortles won 2 playoff games, including going to Pittsburgh and lighting up the Steelers on the road. The Steelers were the 2 seed. They had the bye, and they seemed like they were squarely headed to New England and Foxborough for a rematch of the epic midseason contest last year, the one that did not go Jesse James the Steelers' way. It seems so obvious, and yet here were the Jaguars going to Pittsburgh, getting a big win, putting up 40-plus points, and Blake Bortles throwing it all over the yacht. All over the place. Right on the water, walking off the water, coming right into that stadium. Bing, 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 bing. Pool behind him. Hell yeah. Rich people problems. This year, week 2 against the New England Patriots, Blake Bortles again shredding Bill Belichick's D. Ho, okay, got yourself a quarterback, get yourself a pork shoulder, and the New England Patriots licking their wounds, leaving Jacksonville. The Jaguars looked every bit like one of the best teams in football. And Blake Bortles was a huge part of that. And in the offseason, to keep the good times rolling, understandably so, Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone, and that front office decided we need to keep Bortles here. So here's a 3-year, $54 million deal. Well, the Jaguars were 3-1, and they had thrashed the Patriots, and now they are 3-4, and these last 3 weeks have been awful. They got just thrown around like a rag doll by the Kansas City Chiefs. Then they had a total puke fest against the Dallas Cowboys, and yesterday they have to bench Blake Bortles. So now you sit at 3-4. In desperation bowl against the Eagles next week in London. And the question is, can you put Blake Bortles back in there? And what do you do at quarterback?
The cheer you hear is for Cody Kessler. The backup quarterback is in the game. Blake Bortles has been pulled, the longtime starter here in Jacksonville, and at least for now, Cody Kessler, the erstwhile USC quarterback, the former Cleveland Brown, is the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback.
I just literally did it to try to get a damn spark from this football team, to put everyone on notice, okay, to that they have to focus and they have to go out there and play better. And, you know, at points in the second half, they did that. That's not fair to the quarterback, but that's the way this business is. For me, it's on everyone.
Jaguars radio on the call, Doug Marrone after the game. Okay, so let's pick this thing apart. Number one, was it a mistake to give Blake Bortles that money in the offseason? I say no. You had a quarterback at 26 years old, drafted and developed by the franchise, with the ability to have gone to a Super Bowl, because let's face it, they went overly conservative play calling in the second half in Foxborough in the AFC Championship game. Had they let Bortles sling it a little bit, they would have been going to the Super Bowl in my estimation. Even if not, you've got a guy that was good enough to get you to the AFC title game, and that locker room believed in Blake Bortles. Let's face it, they did. So, frankly, I think it was the right decision. If he could do that, you give the money, and you know it's a team built on ferocious, aggressive defense and a good ground attack, and Bortles is good enough to not mess that up. What were the other options? You pay a ton of money to Kirk Cousins? You go out and get baby Brock Osweiler? What are the other options there? Trying to sign Alex Smith? I mean, I think it was the right move. The problem is Blake Bortles has not held up his end of the bargain. He's gotten terrible over the last 3 weeks. And you can't say he's always terrible. I'm sick of the comparisons to him with all these trash QBs. Those other trash quarterbacks didn't throw for 400 yards to the Patriots. Those other trash quarterbacks didn't win two road playoff games. Those other garbage quarterbacks didn't put up 45 points in Pittsburgh in the postseason. You can't compare them to those guys. Yes, statistically, it's not good, but he has big moments and big wins. The problem is he's not living up to his end of the bargain. When I hear people say, well, they should trade for Eli Manning, that's not going to happen. Yeah, Coughlin, I'm sure, loves Eli. But what are you going to do? You're going to absorb Eli's contract? The Giants don't want Blake Bortles in return. So what are you going to do? You're going to then absorb Eli's 20-some-odd million-dollar-a-year contract and Blake Bortles' 20-year-some-odd contract? Stupid. Not going to happen. Number two, the New York Giants don't want to sell off Eli Manning to go watch him win a Super Bowl somewhere else or whatever, go to the playoffs with somebody else or whatever, and then give Kyle LaLetta or Alex Tanney 10 starts this year. They don't want to do that. They're already embarrassed about this season. They're not going to show up on Sunday and have 17,000 people in the stands to watch Alex Tanney get his brains beaten in at MetLife. It's not going to happen. So let's get off that train. Neither side's going to do that deal. Financially, doesn't make sense. Giants won't want to do that either. So what do you do? Problem is there's nothing to do. There isn't. That's the problem. There isn't anything to do. Cody Kessler's not a better option. He's not. I mean, what? Ryan Tannehill's going to come back healthy for the Dolphins. I assume he's going to start there because he makes a ton of money. So you want to bring in baby Brock Osweiler? Is he better than Blake Bortles? There's a lot of bad quarterbacks out there. Bortles has flashes of being good. You just got to get through to him. And perhaps benching him yesterday was the way to get through to him. But there's just not another option for the Jaguars. The only way they're going to win this year is with Blake Bortles. That's it. So this is also a team-wide problem. It is. That defense isn't as good as it used to be. That pass rush isn't as good as it used to be. Fournette is injured. They have had problems far beyond Bortles. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. What did Jalen Ramsey say after this loss? Well, apparently the media saw that locker room fighting with one another after the game. That's a volatile, combustible, very emotional locker room and bunch of guys. Apparently, the locker room door swung open and guys were being separated from one another. James Palmer from NFL Network quoted Jalen Ramsey as saying, quote, y'all walk in here. Y'all see how it is in here. Y'all see when we vibe with one another, how we vibe toward the coaches. Y'all see how it is. It's no secret what's going on right now. Ain't nobody going to say it because you know we can't. It ain't no secret what's going on. End of quote. Interesting. Not quite sure what he means there. James Palmer also quoted Jalen Ramsey as saying vied toward the coaches and vied with one another, as in V-I-D-E. I'm pretty sure that's vibe unless I'm just really out to lunch on this type of stuff. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money. Switching to Geico, homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all. Geico.com. Donnie's in Virginia listening to CBS Sports Radio there. Good morning, Don.
Hey, D.A., how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good, good, good. I just want to say, first time, long time.
Well, thanks, man. Thank you.
And how in the world can you say the Eagles would have been the better home game for the Jaguars than the Patriots? I just don't understand that.
All right, that's fair. I kind of meant, out of all of the home games that the Jacksonville Jaguars fans have had to endure over the last couple of years when they've been terrible, they would much rather have the Philadelphia Eagles there than have to have one of these AFC South teams come in. But that's true. The Patriots game was a big one.
Look, okay, all right. Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, I'm a Patriots fan, long time, you know, I mean, even when, thank God for the Saints, or we would have been wearing bags on our heads, you know, I mean, but, you know, I lived in Jacksonville for a while, and Jesus, that stadium couldn't even, you know, they drew more for monster trucks than they did Jaguar games, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely, and now they finally have a good team. Granted, they're 3-4, they finally have a good team, and the NFL wants to take away the Eagles game. That just stinks.
No, I mean, I agree there, but, you know, I mean, I just, I feel that the Patriots, you know, are their best home game this year, and Jacksonville pulled it out. I mean, you know, the Patriots threw up a stinker, as their secondary has for years. I mean, their secondary is horrible. Their red zone defense has been the best in the league forever, you know what I mean? So,
and I wonder if that's going to come back to bite them, Donnie, in the postseason, because you're right, that secondary can make any quarterback look good. We saw what Patrick Mahomes did to the Patriots secondary. Even Mitch Trubisky yesterday looked pretty good, and gosh, that Hail Mary should never be completed. And the fact that it was just short of the goal line is pretty ridiculous. I think that that's going to come back to haunt them. But you're right, that home game against the Patriots was a really big one for Jaguars fans. I just think it stinks that overall you have the NFL now selling off good matchups to London. It's one thing to take away home games that perhaps the locals don't really care about losing, but now you're selling off home games that the locals would love to go to. It's a double thumb in the eye. Patrick's next up in South Carolina listening to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Pat?
Hey, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Thanks, man, for taking my call. Just wanted to weigh in on the Jacksonville Jaguars situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I think it's pretty much what Ramsey was saying, pretty much hush and keep there in the locker room. It's the situation that was going on in Seattle a couple of years ago with Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. What Jalen basically did was he excoriated himself and his team. And Roger Goodell isn't taking kindly to that. And so last week when they played the Cowboys, correct, they came out and they embarrassed themselves. They basically came out in the turquoise teal-looking pants.
Right.
And I knew right away it was a dead giveaway that they had to lay down. They had to lay it down for the Cowboys. And, you know, they just wouldn't – it wasn't going to go on with Jerry Jones not getting victories or Dallas not being able to play well. And Jacksonville just happened to come up. So it's not an issue with Blake Bortles. It's not an issue with the Jaguars. It's all systematic, man, and it's part of the process. So
wow, now that is a theory that the NFL wanted the Cowboys to win so badly, for Jerry Jones to get a win so badly, that they forced Jacksonville to wear dopey pants and to play like garbage, which is an interesting theory because, let me tell you, the NFL must be conspiring against the Jaguars every week now. I mean, how badly have they played multiple times this year? It wasn't just the Cowboys. They played like dreck again yesterday. They played awful against the Chiefs. I mean, earlier in the season, they lost 9-6 to the Titans. Does the NFL also have it in to make sure the Titans win a field goal fest? I mean, I'm all for conspiracy theories, but let's face it, the Jaguars losing against the Cowboys wasn't the only time this year they've looked like poo-poo. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, the Cleveland Browns head coach wants a shakeup. Hugh Jackson says, I need to be more involved with the offense. Does Hugh realize that's not a solution? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Mayfield's got him up at the line. Chubb, the running back. Mayfield keeps it himself. Runs right side. The Browns push him to the goal line. And no official sign yet. It looks like they're saying that the Bucs stopped him. And it is. They didn't get in.
I think I have every right as a head coach to jump in here and see if I can help and assist and get this thing to where I think it needs to be, because we need to be better on offense. And if that's my specialty, then I need to be involved more.
Can we just keep Hugh tied up doing something else? Keep him busy so he doesn't get involved with the offense. That's Browns Radio on the call. Hugh Jackson after the loss. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with coast-to-coast collisions even. Cleveland and Pittsburgh clash in an AFC North showdown. The Jets fly to Chicago to face the Bears. Denver and Kansas City duke it out in an AFC West matchup. Baltimore battles the Panthers in Carolina, and the Colts take on the Raiders in Oakland. The day kicks off with the NFL today at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. So, oh, no. So the Browns lose, which, have I mentioned how silly the predictions of the Browns being 8-8 before the season was? I had to laugh every time I heard one of these. Because when was the last time you saw a team make an 8-game jump? I realize 8-8's nothing crazy. You're not going to win a Super Bowl normally at 8-8. You rarely make the playoffs at 8-8. But coming from 0-16, coming from 1-31 over two seasons, you know, 8 wins was always utterly ridiculous. So now the Browns are 2-4-1. And to be fair, they have been in just about every game. Almost every game they've been in. And out of those 4 losses and a tie, 3 of them could have gone their way. So who knows? This could have been a 5-1-1 team or something like that, or a 5-2 team. But there's a reason that the Browns are the Browns, and that's because they lose close games. For years, they've lost close games. That's what bad teams do. It's not a league where most teams get blown out or win in a rout every Sunday. It's mostly close games. And I think that we all know. I'm sitting there watching Red Zone until my eyes bleed yesterday. I had the two TVs set up. The main screen of the main TV of the main game I wanted to watch, and then the Red Zone to watch everything else and kind of switch back and forth. And I'm just going, there's just a lot of bad football. I mean, they're close games, so that's kind of fun. But if somebody asked me what the best football game yesterday was, I guess Ravens-Saints. I guess that was overall two good teams playing. But there was not a lot of good football. It's just that there's close games. And so the Browns lose those close games. And the Browns yesterday lost to the Buccaneers, which is hysterical because only the Buccaneers have a defense bad enough to when you score 23 points, you go, boy, we need more coaching there. We need better execution. We need more points. The Buccaneers defense is so bad. When you score 23 against them, you feel like you got shut out. So Hugh Jackson sitting here going, well, I might have to get involved. You know, that's my background. It's my jam. It's where I feel most comfortable. Except he hired Todd Haley for the play calling position. We know that at the very least, at the very best, him and Todd Haley don't go out for Panera on Tuesdays, that's for sure. And at worst, they dislike one another. And so Haley's not going to give up that reign easily. He's not. He's a hard-headed, stubborn dude with a very adamant, definitive at times defiant perspective of how people get involved with his offense or what he should do or criticisms or whatnot. And then on top of that, Hugh Jackson was the play caller the last couple of years. They went 1-31. So, I mean, does Hugh just not realize? Should somebody remind him? Should we be responsible for reminding Hugh Jackson?
Psst, Hugh, I just want to let you know, you did have the play calling duties. And you guys went 0-16. You won one game in 2 years. Psst, Hugh, you don't want that job. You're bad at that job. You're really bad.
He was like, nah, you know what? I want to get involved here, okay? That's my background. We need a little jump on offense. I think it's my time to come in here and kick some butt. All right, here's how we're going to do it.
Hugh, you're terrible at this. The best thing you could do is stay really far away from the offense. Really far.
And if that's my specialty, then I need to be involved more.
Yeah, that's my specialty, all right? This is totally like grandma at Christmas. And she's like, everybody loves my fruitcake, so I'm going to make fruitcake because I've got the signature fruitcake and it's my specialty. And nobody wants to tell grandma, everybody hates your fruitcake. It's really awful. That's why we just leave it there on the table every single year. I honestly have an aunt like this. And she doesn't realize she's a terrible cook. And so eventually, my mom had to kind of be like, you know, maybe you can bring, you know what? Bring the shrimp platter. Go buy it from Costco. Go get it from BJ's. Get the massive thing of shrimp. And that would be great. People love shrimp. People just love the cocktail shrimp on Christmas. Just so that you don't risk her cooking anything. This is Hugh Jackson. You know, Hugh, you shouldn't be involved in the offense. You're such a good organizer and CEO of the company. You just need, in fact, you need less on your plate. You're so good at motivating everybody. You should definitely do that. Or you know what? We really need help in special teams. In fact, long snapping, that's where your specialty would thrive. We know how good you are. I mean, you've been around offense for a long time, right? You know long snapping. We definitely need help long snapping. Hugh, why don't you go over to the long snapper practice? Go over there, work with them. That's where we really need your value. That's where we really need your experience and your expertise.
Help and assist.
You've worked around football a long time, right? The chain gang needs help, Hugh. For some reason, the chains are getting all jumbled up and they're all wonky and why don't you help out the chain gang during practice and just make sure the chain is straight and make sure that they're really lining up 10 yards. You're right. Yes, Hugh. Yep. 10 yards. That's right. See that? Exactly. See, you guys thought it was 2nd and 7. Hugh knew it was 2nd and 8. He was right. You know what? Listen, Hugh, we need you over there on the chain gang. No, Hugh, the lighting is just not quite right at the stadium. In fact, we need you on those light towers. If you could just, the farther away from the offense you are, I think the better. Don't worry. Haley's got the offense. Baker's got the offense. Don't worry. On those light towers, I think you see that that wattage is a little low. And I think that might be hurting Baker. And he's not seeing Jarvis Landry and the wide receivers well. Why don't you go up on that light tower? Yeah, climb up there yourself. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, no, it's fine. You need scaffolding or a ladder or anything. Just climb up there. No, everybody, electricians do it all the time. Yeah, climb to the top of that until practice is over. And just if you could unscrew or maybe tighten that giant bulb up there, then, and you know what? The blimp was a little low. I think they need to figure out the angle on the blimp was, we're going to get you to blimp practice too. And, you know, there's a kid at Louisiana Lafayette that we're looking at for maybe a 7th-round pick on the offensive line. We might need you to scout that kid next week. You know, we'll handle the game plan. Yeah, no, we're fine. But if maybe you're, if you can go to Lafayette, yeah. Yeah, no, we'll get you. Stay as long as you want. In fact, we'll have you scout all those schools in the Sun Belt. How's that? Because, yeah, no, and then come back and we need you around the draft is what we need you, Hugh.
So, that's my specialty. Then I need to be involved more.
You don't know. We totally trust you. We know that. But you're just so valuable so many other places. When we come back here on the show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day. Bill O'Brien with such a butt-chinny quote. And things go horribly awry for Andrew Bogus during an update on Friday.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
We had a meat that I didn't even know didn't exist in the outside world. It's called ox roast. And I ate it like my whole childhood. And then I'm like, is that like a made up meat?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Ox roast.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
That was Katie Linnedahl, our gadget of gadgets, our tech guru around here. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can take us with you on the go by simply listening to us using the CBS Sports app, radio.com, or Apple Music, or watch the show on your phone at watchda.com. Katie's going to come in for her now annual Halloween episode of the show. I'm guessing next week, perhaps on Tuesday or Wednesday, the day before Halloween or Halloween. And she is going to have multiple costumes. She is a huge costume, Halloween costume person. On her Instagram, you see all these great costumes that she's wearing at Comic-Con and other places. I have purchased the parts of my costume online. I got one of the three parts yesterday. I need to go to a Salvation Army or Goodwill or thrift store for the final part, the fourth part. But, Bilotti, have you decided what you're going to be for our annual Halloween show with Katie Linnedahl next week?
Yes, it's all set. I have it all ready to go. It's in the Bilotti closet. It's all ready to go.
Did you purchase it online?
Yes.
Okay, so you've already had it shipped to you.
I have. And
done. That means you're ahead of the game.
Prepared. Here. Always prepared.
Ahead of the game. There's no chance Mraz has this figured out yet.
No, he doesn't even know Halloween's next week.
Hasn't even thought about it.
Nope.
He is scarred for life. Because when he was 12 and 13 years old in his neighborhood, the bullies in the neighborhood took a sock, a gym sock, long gym sock, filled it with flour, and beat the younger kids with that flour sock. And that's how it sounded as he got beat with a flour sock in his neighborhood. This scarred him for life. And so from then on, throughout his teenage years, he would sit inside and watch NBA opening night on Halloween by himself, which is the great irony of all ironies because, as you might imagine, a holiday that includes free candy, Mraz should be all over, but he's actually not. So I wonder if he remembers it's Halloween next week, and if so, or if not, if he's going to have a costume ready to go. He is in Atlanta for tonight's Giants and Falcons game. Yes, he and Bitter Berman have decided to spend their hard-earned money to go to Atlanta to watch that train wreck of a football team. But next week, when Katie comes in, we'll have our costumes, and we encourage you to watch at watchda.com. And I'll also post a number of behind-the-scenes videos and pictures of the costumes on my Instagram story, at Damon Amendo.
It's a hard candy!
They're all hard candies that day. All of them.
Candy!
Candy!
Candy.
Lots of it. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Sound Check.
All right. Butt Chin McGee, Bill O'Brien, with the Bill O'Brieniest quote in Bill O'Brien's coaching career.
I mean, it is the most difficult thing to do, I think, in professional sports, to go out and win an NFL football game. They're hard fought. There's great players on both sides of the ball and on special teams. There's these wins, no matter how you win, this team fights. This team practices hard. They care about each other.
The hardest thing to do in sports is to win an NFL game. I mean, the Browns won one 2 years ago. How hard could it really be? The Giants won one this year against that team. Remember, the only Giants win of the season came in Houston against Butchin McGee's squad. Somehow, some way, as hard as it is, every week, half the teams do it. How hard? We always hear the hardest thing to do in sports is hit a home run, right? Hit a fastball, hit a home run. And then others would say, well, no, it's win an NBA championship. But he has lowered the bar into it's just win a game. That's the hardest thing in sports to do is win a football game.
I think in professional sports.
He is amazing because he can't help but indirectly put himself on a pedestal. The hardest thing to do, guys, is to win a football game. Do you know how hard my job is? Have I mentioned how hard this job is? It's really, really hard. I mean, I know Bill Belichick makes it look really easy and stuff, but no, it's really hard. No, I know.
It is the most difficult thing to do.
I know that Andy Reid makes it look super easy, and Sean McVay like walked in and he's like 18 years old and winning like every game. I know that it looks easy, but it's not, guys. What I do is hard. I drive a Dodge Stratus. It's hard what I do.
I mean, it is the most difficult thing to do.
You could just imagine his little butt chin opening up as he does this.
The hardest thing to do is to win a football game. Did you hear what my master said? It's hard to do what he's doing. Now back into my butt chin.
It is so hard, guys, what I do. Did I mention the hardest thing to do in sports media is to host a 3-hour radio show? Have I mentioned that? This is hard. I can't believe how hard it is. I mean, commercial breaks have to fire. You have to talk a lot. You have to kind of somewhat know what happened to the games. This is hard. I think it's the hardest thing to do in sports media, honestly. I think it is. It's really hard what I do, everybody.
I mean, it is the most difficult thing to do.
Listen to my master. Mini Butchin says it's hard to win football games on Sundays.
I think in professional sports.
Shut up. How about Titans head coach Mike Vrabel making it look really hard to win a football game on Sunday? Because instead of kicking the extra point and going to OT, he goes for two and they don't get it.
A lot of faith in our players. They've been, you know, converting. Marcus was, you know, doing everything we need him to do and keeping plays alive. And so, you know, not going to second guess the call. Just didn't work out.
Okay, so I am all about coaches being aggressive. I grew up watching football where every coach wanted to be Bill Parcells. Every coach wanted to be Bear Bryant. Every coach figured, play defense, run the football, don't take a lot of chances, don't make mistakes, don't turn the football over, and we'll win games. You win games 17-13. You win games 20-16. That's what you do. You have to limit your mistakes, no turnovers, win the football game that way. But guess what? Bill Parcells wasn't brilliant because he was always conservative. He did take some chances. He did fake a punt in the NFC Championship game with Gary Reasons. He did go for it on fourth downs. He did take some swings for the fences. And so many coaches for so long have been almost fired, would be fired, coaching for their jobs that they just simply say, do what the book says, conventional wisdom. And thus, I can't be second-guessed if it goes wrong. Limit mistakes, don't turn the football over, run the ball, and we'll win enough football games to where I keep my job. This is the way generations of coaches have been conditioned. So, Mike Vrabel, more power to you. Frank Reich, more power to you. the coaches that maybe are younger coaches, first-time head coaches, going, let's go for it. And I think as we talked about last hour with Trent Dilfer, analytics have really helped this. Because the more you delve into the stats, that one high school team that never punts, that goes for it on every fourth down, wins a million games. Why? Because statistically, the more you go for it, the more the odds are in your favor that it's going to work out in your favor. And the more that you go for it, the more it's going to work and the more games you're going to win. And eventually there will come a point in time where it's not just high school, but there's going to be a team in college at a Power 5 conference that never punts. That fourth and anything less than 10, they're going for it. Because the odds would say go for it. And so statistical analysis is helping out become more aggressive in football because the odds say it's necessary. So I like this. And I don't want these coaches to suddenly go into the hole. The problem is, was that the right play call? I think that it was a busted play because Mariota drops back to pass, looks, doesn't make a decision, then scrambles out to his right, is still on the run, finally makes a decision, throws it into basically triple coverage, and it's incomplete. I think the execution seemed to be a disaster. I would also think about running it. You're at the 2-yard line, and the Titans are supposed to be a power running team, and Mariota's been anything but a highly productive through-the-air quarterback. But execution, fine, criticize. Play call, fine, criticize. The decision to go for it, I like. Because how many ties do we need? And you're on the 2-yard line. Your win is right there. You can get it in from the 2, and you win the game. Or you're going to have to try to string together a drive in overtime that goes minimum 35 yards to get a legitimate field goal opportunity. So do you take the 2-yard opportunity and a 2-point conversion or try to drive the length of the field to kick a field goal? The 2-yard, 2-point conversion looks pretty good right there. And finally, this happened on Friday. And because of the sound check and because the DA show is willing to embarrass itself, here is the best anchor update man we have here at CBS Sports Radio, Andrew Bogish. Hell to pay when an update goes horribly awry.
Sports Flash.
And Grant, that update is brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com.
Sports Flash.
And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Two games last night, 11 tonight. The NBA season about to really get underway. Kawhi Leonard debuts as a Raptor with a visit from the Cavaliers. They took game one of the ALCS, but now the Astros have dropped 2 and 3. That last one in their building yesterday. Third baseman Alex Bregman confident in defeat last night.
This team does a good job of worrying about the next pitch. And that's really what baseball is all about, worrying about the next pitch. That's the most important pitch. The first pitch of the game tomorrow, that's the most important pitch of our season.
Game 4 starts in Houston, 7:39 Central.
All right, so this reminds me. It goes on like this the entire update, by the way, everybody. So this was Friday when Bogish was doing updates for the Jim Rome show. Grant Napier was in for Jim. This reminds me of when you hold up a camera to a television screen that's connected to your camera or your computer, and it's just going on forever. Like the camera looks into the camera, into the screen, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on. Because the longer you did that update, the more times
there was
your voice was coming through.
It is exactly that. What I guess happened was, you know, Jim was here in New York during the week.
Yeah.
And then the next day when he wasn't, there had to be a special setup for him when he was here. It wasn't completely undone the next day. So what it was like he was feeding my update back to us by accident. But that was creating this loop of me because it came back once and then we sent it back to them and then it came back again and it was just going on. So at one point, there was like 4 of me doing an update. And luckily, I dawned on me to turn my headphones down so I couldn't hear it anymore. That was the only way I could finish it because it was such a mind, you know what, hearing the music over and over again and my voice over and over again and the cut over and over again. It was a disaster.
It was the Bogish loop.
And no one knew what it was. I walked out of here and I got Tom DeCelestino, the technical director, in the afternoons. And he just looked at the file and listened and was dumbfounded because no one could explain for like a half an hour why it happens.
It was like you were doing an update in a cave.
Yeah.
Hi, yeah. I'm Andrew. Bogus.
Starts in Houston, that's 7:39 Central. Charlie Morton, Rick Porcello on the mound. It's Clayton Kershaw and Wade Miley for the Dodgers and Brewers in Game 5 in L.A. 2:05 Pacific first pitch.
I love that, like, every couple of seconds, it just, the flash hits again.
New music.
It's a CBS Sports flash. Then Bogus goes on to the first story, and it's like, it's a CBS Sports flash. It's a CBS. Yeah, no, we got it, voice guy. We're very well aware.
Calm down.
A lot of sports flashing going on.
But there's me, the professional, pushing through all of that.
But you're a pro's pro. You're the best update guy we have on the network. And if it had to happen to anybody, I'm glad it happened to you. Because for some other people, it would have been meltdown city.
Let's be honest. Rich Ackerman would have fainted.
Flipped out.
Yeah.
Head would have exploded.
Luckily, Berman doesn't pay attention enough to have heard it.
Right.
Ack would have had a meltdown.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
What would Schwartz have done? I mean, he just would have fallen over in his chair.
And broken his other hip.
When we come back here on the show, Dallas and Washington. So much of America got this game, and so much of America got a clown show in the fourth quarter. We shall discuss who was more disgusting. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.